They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
1-1, roped down the right field line. That's a fair ball. In comes Vasquez. Here comes Mookie. He'll score. Benintendi all the way into third. He slides in with a triple. High fly ball up center field. Back there, off the wall. Martinez just missed a grand slam. There's a shot. High and deep to left. Carrying back. It's gone. A grand slam.
Who win it now?
Hi, Zo.
How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, sorry for not being here yesterday.
Not a problem. We were good.
Had a little last-minute scheduling of the ears and adenoids.
Oh, those are
for
fun.
One of the kids.
Those are fun.
Yeah, I was expecting that to be an early morning endeavor. It ended up being an afternoon endeavor.
It was amazing how quick kids bounce back on anything.
That's unbelievable. That's the fourth time I've been through that.
You'd be so annoyed. I'd still be miserable.
Oh, my God. Yep.
Remember when I had my tooth out? I'm calling you. Hey, man, I'm getting my tooth out. My birthday. There,
yes.
I was in the chair, and I'm like, wow.
Yes.
Listen to you guys hammering.
So we're all
Stevens.
Good.
Yeah.
We're back at it. I heard Arcan was good. Heard he was good.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I'm in on Arcan.
Yeah, you're in on Arcan. Told you he was good.
Yeah. It's like Wally Pipp with Sarge here, you know?
Oh!
I don't know if we'll ever see the Sarge man again.
Yeah.
A lot of common interests with Arcan. Yeah.
Good guy.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to it. Last night was a statement win for your Boston Red Sox.
I agree.
I should say my Boston Red Sox. And a statement loss for your New York
absolutely.
Yankees.
Absolutely.
You were very quiet last night. Didn't hear very much during that game.
We were texting.
I know you were watching. I know you were into it, and you were watching.
I was on the edge of my seat.
Yankees were in town.
You know what I kept waiting for?
You commented when JD hit that one to the warning track.
He did. To poke fun.
Good power.
Nothing after the double off the wall, though. That
good
was
good power.
Almost a home run, inches from a home
run.
Who
did that one?
That was J.D. Martinez. It hit to the left of the line
what
instead
was
of the
that?
Right of the line. That ball was crushed.
What inning was that?
I tell you what, Jim. He has had balls.
Is that early? Are we going
to
do the A-Rod thing?
7-1.
Yeah. What are we going to do? Is this going to be like big A-Rod hits late in games?
Well, it's better than what Giancarlo Stanton was doing
jelly
last
boobs?
Night.
Yeah.
How's he look?
Oh, he looks lost. He looks absolutely lost. When's he going to find it? This is like, you know, I know Hardy's not in yet, but when a golfer gets the yips and you can't even, like, look at the ball or he's, I don't know what he's doing. He's sitting there taking deep breaths. He's missing by 6 to 7 inches.
Oh, it's brutal.
On some of these balls.
His first strikeout last night, he had to have missed that ball by a foot, it felt like.
Even Remy.
I mean, not even close.
Even Remy and O'Brien just throw high and fast. He's going to swing. And sure is bleeping up.
Yeah.
You know, there he is, missing by half a foot on a high fastball. I'm like,
so,
Jesus.
Maz did a great job of outlining on our website in a story the problems with his stance and how close the stance is. And pretty much this has now been picked up in a lot of places because people have noticed.
Right.
How is nobody there in the Yankees organization? And we're going to get to the Red Sox because it was a great win for the Red Sox. But how has no one there gone to him and said, hey, buddy.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
You know why?
Because I know that he did this late last year, too. But if you're Aaron Boone, your job is supposedly your strength is going to be relating to the young players.
Yeah.
How do you not say, hey, buddy?
I agree.
Why don't you go back to what you're...
I agree, but he doesn't do it because
it's... How does a hitting coach there not do it?
It's a $325 million player you think has everything figured out. And it's like almost walking on eggshells to affect him. You know he's new. You know he's gripping it. You know he's squeezing it. Meaning he's trying too hard. He's got to relax. Same thing with J.D. Martinez. He's got to relax too. It just seems like there's this strenuous intensity in their eyes to where you could tell these guys are gripping it hard. It happens in golf too. What Boone should do is call Mendoza to find a way to get him in the cookie zone.
The cookie zone.
Yeah. But
Marcus Timms is their hitting coach.
You asked that. Why doesn't somebody
remember
say
Marcus
something to
Timms?
Him?
He played in a million different places.
Who fixed David Price last year? Was it Dustin Pedroia? Said, hey, I'm noticing something different.
Anybody!
Like, why can't you? They talk about all of the, you know, the technology, the iPads that they use for both teams, and, you know, that we study pitches, and all these guys are in that
Marcus zone. Timms, career 246 hitter.
You know?
He couldn't figure out his stance either.
I mean, they do this with
Better
Tiger.
Than Tim Hyers, yeah. Probably.
How does no one go to him and say, hey, idiot, go back to your old stance? Like, the old one works better.
Maz talked to the guy from the Daily News, John Harper, yesterday, yes. The baseball reporters, and he said that once he switched to that stance last year, he was on a 70 home run pace with the Marlins.
So that was when he made the switch?
When he made the switch, after he made the switch, he was on a 70 home run pace.
Yeah. So
it's going to take a lot of convincing for him to get out of that stance.
So that was how he was hitting the home runs. I thought it had happened later than that. The way I had read it was it didn't happen until the final.
I'm just going by what Harper said with Maz last night.
Okay, then I'll take Harper's word on it because he's obviously done the work on that.
Yeah.
But do you see it? Do you see how hard it is for him to get around? It's
almost like his bat is too
big. It looks like it hurts your back.
Yeah.
Like, that looks painful to me. That looks like a painful swing. It just feels wrong.
It's like a bad golfer that doesn't know how to use his legs.
That's a problem, man. I would get someone to convince him to do something else because it's clearly hurting him. He looks horrible. Or, you know what it could be? Now he's playing in a market where it actually matters and people expect things from you.
We talked about.
And the microscope is on you. All those things that I talked about and was shouted down by the Belgers and the Buckleys telling me how much of an idiot I was.
Gasper was on it. Said he talked to somebody who knows this guy couldn't make it in this market here. I'm talking about Stanton.
Yeah.
And remember when he was doing, what sit down did he do on what late night show was that?
Where he was on.
Was that Kimmel? No. Maybe it was. Regardless, it's a shame for them because it seems like Judge is starting to get it going. Like, Judge looks good. You know, the way he caught the ball.
He was on Kimmel.
Track.
It was Kimmel.
Kimmel. Judge going down the line, working the line, turning and throwing. Just Judge looks like a damn good player.
How about that home run Judge hit last night, by the way? Holy smokes.
Did you see Chris Sale jump and look up? It was like, whoa! But that's it. It's their only production. Big deal. Red Sox statement win last
statement
night.
Statement win.
I totally agree.
Because the competition out of the gate,
that's all we heard,
was weak.
Extended spring training.
It wasn't good. And that's not a knock on the Red Sox, and it never was. For those who are crying out there about that, the Red Sox don't got enough credit. Everyone was doubting them. No one was doubting them, saying, well, wait till this happens against a good team, and you'll really have something to dig in on. The Red Sox look like the bats have come alive. Their starting pitching has been excellent. Chris Sale looks great. David Price has looked great and has another shot to go out tonight. And that, to me, last night, given the fact that they had played only Miami and Tampa to this point, they had an opportunity to prove something last night, to show you something, and they showed everybody something.
Weather, too.
Oh, exactly.
That was a cold, cold, nasty night.
And you had Sale throwing gas, is what you had. And I just think that they looked like the far superior team last night against the New York Yankees.
Did you see
everybody's preseason pick? It's hard. You know, it's 162-game season, so it's hard when you're saying that, you know, you're going to be a dozen games in and you're making statement wins. That one felt like one.
No.
That felt like they had something to show.
We're teasing it.
Night.
We're talking about it. We're waiting for it. For me, the baseball season started last night.
Ready to play.
Yeah.
They were ready to play out of the gate.
How do you not give them credit for last night? And you go back to last year when they had the nasty weather and they were all bitching about the cold temperatures.
Yeah.
Remember? All of them. And even the manager. There's something about this team this year where you even see them, you know, during breaks and, you know, they span out to a guy and you don't see anybody with their hands in their pants, blown on it. They're sitting there ready to play.
Well, I actually have a thought on both Alex Cora and Aaron Boone, the managers of both of these teams. And more so Alex Cora, who yesterday had a moment of honesty that I think reflects really well on him. We'll get to that coming up next.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It is no longer wise to ignore it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think it's really important. I think, you know, you can go through all the cliches. It's a long season. You know, we got a lot of games left, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, you see the morale in here. You see the energy, the confidence, the, you know, kind of the easiness. Allows you to go out there and just play. There's no pressing the panic button early. We're just going out there and playing the game.
Red Sox did close to a 9 last night on television. A lot of people watching the Red Sox right now. Everybody's in on the Sox, and last night with it being Sox-Yankees, it adds even more intrigue. And the Red Sox delivered. It delivered in a big way last night. Chris Sale on the offense, and Mookie Betts having himself a night. Mookie Betts.
He leads off like every game with a double.
Who the Evan Drellicks of the world have told me will never return to what he was 2 years ago. Maybe he's not that player. No, maybe he is. Maybe he's completely capable of what he was 2 years ago, and now he's showing it. Right?
Remember you came
How's he look? How's he look so far? Mookie Betts look like a hell of a good ball player to you?
Yeah.
Of course he does.
Remember you came in that one day, had that little bit of tidbit of information, talking about a $250 million type contract to get ahead of that to the potential of what Betts could eventually earn here as a player and what it would take to keep him? That was a while ago.
All of a sudden he looks like that player again.
Yeah. He looks like the guy that should be getting Martinez money.
That's more than Martinez.
Yes.
He'll be getting more than Martinez.
That's 28, 30 per.
He's more important and more valuable as a player than J.D. Martinez is. So last night, Red Sox come up in a big way, and they deliver what I think. It's hard to have a statement win in baseball in the first 2 weeks of the year, but I felt that's about as close as a statement win as you're going to get at this time of year. Good for them. Way to show up. Way to prove something against your first real opponent of the year.
Set the tone.
Crush
for
them.
You set the tone for the year with crush that team. Because everybody was talking about rivalries back. Rivalries back. It's them versus you. It's evil empire. It's not about Orioles. It's not about Toronto. It's not even almost about Cleveland. Cleveland can't hit right now.
And by the way, if you're not buying in yet, I'd like to hear why. Because we've heard a lot of those people over the last couple of months.
No, I'm not watching them. I'm not going to do it. They're not likable.
Not only that, they're below 500 now. The Yankees. And did you hear their schedule in May? It's like all contenders that they play. You got a chance to jump on her ass early.
As I
big.
Told you, I got a couple of thoughts on each of the managers.
Yes.
First, we'll start with this. Last night, pregame, Alex Cora, Red Sox manager, was asked about the comeback on Sunday and why he did not make a defensive switch after the comeback. Ninth inning, why he didn't insert Jackie Bradley Jr. into the field, into center, and did that in order to get J.D. Martinez out of left, because defensively you should have your best team out there defensively protecting a one-run lead late in the game Sunday against Tampa Bay. So he gets asked about that pregame, and here's how it went.
Honestly, I'm going to be honest with you. We scored 6 runs, and we were so excited about it, and the manager missed that one.
Can you tell me, expand on why you were so honest about you goofing up Sunday in the 19th?
Well, Johnny, because I did. It just, you know, what I'm going to lie, why lie, you know? And it happens. Everybody saw it. So, you know, I think I ask our guys to be genuine, transparent, and responsible. So if I'm asking them to be that way, well, I better be that way. Because if I say something else, they know I'm not telling the truth. So, yeah.
Oh, my God, do I love this guy.
Kind of love this guy.
Oh, my God. He is the anti.
We were winning. I got
John
excited.
Farrell.
I felt like a player again. I'm enjoying it, and the moment passed me by. I blew it.
Yeah,
I
got
I
excited.
Up.
We just scored 6 runs in the 8th.
Same guy was going to get diapers and formula a week ago because he's not blew hanging it. Out with the TV chick or whatever. I dig this dude.
Now, if that had gone poorly, and all of a sudden there was a comeback and a ball hit to left field, we'd be really upset with him. Thankfully for him,
course.
It didn't happen. But just to be able to admit, nope, that is on me. I made a bad decision, or I didn't make a decision, which is a problem.
What would Farrell said there? Well, according to the time and that point in the game, we looked at some of the numbers as to what the percentages would be. He would have an out. This guy just said, I blew it.
By the way, better to make your mistakes as a first-time manager in April against the Rays than in October against Cleveland or New York or whoever else. Right?
Yeah.
So there is forgiveness at this time of year, and how do you not want to forgive a guy for making mistakes given the way he owns up to it?
Wow.
Just no, there's just no BS with this guy. He just says it the way it is. Like,
it's been a great month for him.
I screwed it up, man.
It's been a great start, great month for him.
As Maz would say, it's the good ship lollipop right now. That's what this is. That's what you got going on with your Boston Red Sox. That's just worth playing 100 times because I thought that was great. It's just so different from the bullcrap you've been fed for years. from the Red Sox managerial post. And I'll tell you what, some of that was Francona, too. He had a way of covering up his bad moves, too, by making up some bull crap. Everything is yes! On. Yes! Yes!
Wow, here we go again.
Yes, you read Shaughnessy today?
Yeah.
He's on board.
The old ball club's back.
He's on board.
He called the whole thing. He was in here for 2 hours yesterday.
Well, he and I were both very bullish on the Red Sox coming into the year.
Told you.
We were both very positive.
Called it.
Give him a hiccup. One here. Should have been 9-0.
I didn't even realize that his headline was that they made a statement. I am in lockstep with Dan Shaughnessy today. That doesn't happen often. So there you go. Red Sox in a good shape. And the Yankees, meanwhile, as you bring up their schedule, I have a question.
Torrid. Yeah.
Is Aaron Boone safe for the entire year if they start to spiral?
Probably. I mean, you fired a guy that went to the World Series. I mean, you fired a guy. Think about that.
And
this guy's your replacement. And what are you going to quick trigger him? You brought him out of the TV booth. What do you think he was going to do? This guy was doing TV with Jess Mendoza. Patting her on the back. Taking a back seat to her.
Right. At least Cora was in the game.
Yeah.
Right?
Cora,
and this is the same thing we said in the offseason. We're repeating ourselves. But at least Cora was on a bench with a major league club.
Yeah.
At least he was doing things on the field.
You have a feel for the game, feel for the players. You know, and you talked about the amount of the different lineups that Houston had. So his ability to be able to juggle guys and how he's going to handle Bogaerts here, being out for a while, who knows when that guy's coming back. That's another great point from last night, how they handled the Yankees without even their best hitter. Not even their best hitter was in the lineup. Bogaerts, right now. I mean, we know Hanley's hitting the cover off the ball, but...
Well, Boone said that with Stanton, it's the toe tap, the timing of the toe tap.
Yeah, it's like a Bledsoe.
It's a problem.
It's like that Bledsoe.
His toe tap timing.
Remember Drew in the pocket? He'd sit there and have seven-step drops. Wait. Boom, sidearm. Man, can't do that. Get rid of that tap. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, throw. This dude looks lost at the plate, though.
Also thinks that Severino last night, it's just because he's tipping his pitches. Or because he blows.
How about
that
Remy?
Could be it too.
How about Remy and Severino last night?
Well, Remy was like, oh, this slider is nasty. I'm like, yeah, not when he misses. Not when he continues to miss with that pitch. And they continue to make him pay for it. Like, great. Yeah, if the slider is so nasty, why is it that a guy, and Remy then came around and was like, okay, all these hits have started to come on sliders. You're damn right they have. No, that's
they're
true.
They're hitting it, but it's still nasty.
It's still nasty. Really? Like, dude, it's a problem. It's a problem. So I just wonder, is Aaron Boone safe if they start to fall apart? Are the Yankees still the Yankees? Are the Yankees still what they were under George? Like, do his kids have that same mean streak in them where they're like, the hell with it. Can him. Get him out of here.
You know, when you,
do they have the flair for that dramatic with the managers?
When you make that many changes within an organization that quickly, that means, like, it's an indicator that you don't know what you're doing. You know, and that you're starting to blow it. The payroll isn't what the Red Sox is. You're $60 million less than them right now. The big thing you brought in was Stanton, and he's your biggest thing that's killing you right now. I know the pitching ain't great for them right now, but... Stan's a disaster. That was your thing. That's the thing that made this whole thing explode between these two teams. If you brought the same exact team back last year without Stanton, I don't think you have the buzz that you had last night and the people dying to watch that game. Like, you were watching last night to see Stanton strike out. Now it's a story. You can't pop this guy. It just looks like more discourse within. Nah, they're going to let him ride. The team's young. It's not like they have a ton of veterans.
I think Severino's 2017. Statistically, I know it was good, right? He had a really good year last year. Pitched close to 200 innings, had the ERA sub 3. Yeah, okay. How did he look in October? He's, you know, one of my questions.
Same questions here, man. It's funny.
How did he look? How did he look in the wild card against Minnesota? How did he look in that one? Did he do okay? I don't know. Call me crazy. I just think that maybe when he faces better lineups, he's not as good as you think he is. Yankee fans going to be all pissed off now. Mm. What do you mean he's not good? Yeah, I don't think he's that good. I think he's not as good as you've made him out to be. Red Sox made him look pretty good last night. 617-779-0985. Guy got crushed. Baseball thoughts, Alex Cora thoughts, Yankee thoughts if you have them.
Somebody else invented the monster seats, I found out last night.
Who, Remy?
Yeah. Did you know that?
I knew that he was someone who had said for a long time they need to put seats up there.
I didn't know that.
He said that publicly a bunch. Wow. So.
Good for him. It's like Bobby V with the
I don't think he was alone. I don't know that he necessarily invented that.
Sometimes
on his
you invent
own,
stuff, man.
He's the one with the voice.
Called it.
He called it.
I called it.
Called it.
Look at that seat. Seamless.
It's like Velcro. I invented that, except they already had it. But I had the idea.
You had an idea. You did. Also from yesterday, Robert Kraft.
Tuna salad. I thought of tuna salad. I didn't know they already had it. I invented it, though.
It's not really salad.
Robert Kraft to The Athletic. Jeff Howe on Tom Brady. I want to hit on that. Also, the latest from Julian Edelman. We'll do that next.
Sports Hub headlines.
Red Sox disintegrated the Yankees last night, 14-1. Chris Sale, the starter.
Disintegrated!
You could disintegrate your Sylvester Stallone. Chris Sale, how important is it for your team to get off to this 9-1 start? Is it a little important? Kind of important?
I think it's really important. I think you can go through all the cliches. It's a long season.
This.
We got a lot of games left, blah, 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 blah. But, you see the morale in here. You see the energy, the confidence, the easiness allows you to go out there and just play. There's no pressing the panic button early. We're just going out there and playing the game.
I nothing resonates when he talks because it's Bledsoe. It's like Bledsoe talking to me.
Oh,
his voice is
Chris Sale, you
it's
hear Bledsoe.
Identical to Bledsoe. I'm like, what do you mean you're a pitcher now?
Well, David Price has his very own voice, and he will get the start tonight for the second game of the set against the Yankees. Celtics lost their second-to-last regular season game last night, 113-101 to the Wizards in Washington. The last game of the season, regular season that is, happens tonight. Back-to-backs, they're at the Garden playing host to the Nets. Bruins won't begin their postseason until tomorrow night when they're home to take on the Maple Leafs. But other series do begin this evening. Flyers visit the Penguins. Minnesota's in Winnipeg. And the Vegas Golden Knights are home to take on the Kings. Headlines are brought to you by Doctors Robert Leonard and Matthew Lopresti. The hair doctors have Fred Toucher and me, Hardy. 1-800-GET-HAIR. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
It's the joy of the hot dog.
Boom. Like, I win. Like, yeah.
But he has the ability to get skinny in the hole.
I know. I want to get it out.
Highly underrated piece of news.
Beadle and Zell.
Sports Hub host for the most.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
The answer that Kraft gives, I hope he plays. What was the setup to that statement? What was the question or conversation leading up to that statement, I hope he plays?
The question was basically a setup by saying around this time last year was when you said that you just had a conversation with Tom Brady and he reiterated that he wanted to play until he's about 45 or 46 or whatever that mid-40s age range was at the time. And with all that in mind, do you still feel that same confidence level that Brady wants to play until he's about 45? And that's when he said, I hope he plays, and then the rest of the quote.
Jeff Howe of The Athletic.
That's weird. Weird to say that. So used to saying of the Boston Herald, but it's Jeff Howe of The Athletic. He was on with you guys yesterday, which I did not know until a moment ago.
Right. And it's not The Atlantic, the ocean to the east of us.
No, The Athletic.
Right. Because one of the hosts yesterday brought him in as the new writer for the Atlantic, which is in competition with Pacific and the Indian. And
well, The Atlantic
the
is
Adriatic.
A publication.
Right. I'm waiting for the Adriatic to come through. Yeah, they're going to have some good writers. I'm just kidding, bud. You did a great job yesterday. Hardy kept moving, man. Like, boom, boom, boom.
Oh, I couldn't get in my head The Athletic. I kept saying The Atlantic.
It's weird.
And I don't think I've ever read The Atlantic, but I know that exists. That I've seen. Never really seen The Athletic.
It takes a while to get it to flow off the tongue.
The Athletic. Athletic. It launched
so,
Athletic Boston launched yesterday. So
Yes, it did.
Yes.
Yes, it did. I have a
subscription. What would Ray Lewis call it? What would Ray Lewis call it? The Athletic?
So with The Athletic being up and running in this story that Jeff had part one of yesterday, and there's part two today, which is Robert Kraft talking about Rob Gronkowski.
Woo!
I think the answer he gave you on that yesterday was covered in the story. He said Kraft was asked if he remains as confident that Brady would indeed forge on into his mid-40s. I think that's, I think he was a little more specific with you. Did it change the comments for you? Did it change the meaning of it?
When I first saw the headline like that, I thought, wow, this is like Robert Kraft doubling down on what Gotham Troper said, that, wow, he's thinking things differently, and this may be sort of a year-to-year thing. I thought it was in direct relation to the contract, and Jeff talked about the contract, too, that, and now all of a sudden, yeah, Brady's camp is open. They don't hear anything. They're waiting. Nobody said anything, though. Patriots are taking their time.
He basically said it was a stare down, and each team wanted the other to come to them and ask. So Brady wants the Patriots to come to him and say, we want to redo your contract. And the Patriots want Brady to come to them and say, and him say, I want a new contract or I want an extension.
Did Bedard report that Brady's not going to play ball? Like, this is opposite that, right?
No, I don't think that's what
was exactly
reported.
The same.
Oh, okay.
He's not going to go to them. He wants them to come to him, right?
Okay. Yeah, I guess.
I think Brady is testing the team right now. Is what I think part of this is. I think he's testing to see what they actually want and what they think. And I'll tell you, this part where he says, I hope he plays, means I don't believe he is as confident as he was a year ago. And bigger than that, I would say, right, because confidence level and you're guessing, right? And I know it's an informed opinion that someone like Robert Kraft would have. He obviously is much closer to his quarterback than most owners are to their quarterback. I also think this strikes me, just the entire tone of the story, strikes me as the relationship is maybe not as tight-knit as it once was, because he now speaks like a guy who doesn't talk to him as much anymore. It feels like there's some sort of disconnect there. I had always assumed that these guys talk plenty. But when I read this yesterday, I thought, gee, are these guys talking as much as they once did? Are they as in close communication as maybe they once were?
I think we're going to have such a better handle on this in 15 days.
I mean, just listen. We have the comments from a year ago that Jeff referenced in his question that he asked him about and talked to you guys about. Just listen to the tone of that. And I know it's different when you're reading it, but the tone of the story.
As recently as 2-3 days ago, he assured me he'd be willing to play 6-7 more years and at the level he performed in. There's no one that would be happier than I.
Glowing about Tom Brady. I talked to him 2 or 3 days ago about this. Yeah. He reassured me.
Am I making too much of the word willing? Is that just like because we're breaking it down a year later and like he'd be willing to play? Like, it's like I asked him and he'd be willing to play 6 or 7 more years.
Not that
he wants to, but he'd be willing
to.
No,
I think things happen and you can't control
anything
in life.
I think you're looking too much into
it. Yeah, you're really microscoping this thing.
Because that comment aligns with everything Brady's ever said. Right? That comment from Robert Kraft last year, that is what we have known Tom Brady to say and talk about and be striving for. And then you read yesterday's comments and he'll be 41 when the season starts. When has Robert Kraft ever been a guy to talk about Tom Brady's age other than to say he's ageless because of the way he takes care of himself? I've heard that comment from Robert Kraft a half a dozen times.
Yeah. Felderman
said, his age is not a factor because you should see the things he does. And we've actually been on the, come on, Robert. We've mocked him over this.
Yep.
Like, he's never going to age. Right. Really? He's never going to get older.
Yeah. Felderman did a good job advancing this off of what we were talking about yesterday, too, that, you go and you say, he's going to be 41 in August makes him seem older.
Oh, right. That's how you make someone sound older.
Hey, let's not forget our 40-year-old quarterback threw for 505 yards in the Super Bowl, and we won 2 of the last 3. And he just turned 40 last year. So there's 2 ways you could do it. That was a good point by them. He sort of, went into the future. Hey, don't forget, he's 41 here, folks.
And what does that have to do with his contract? Hey, what's the deal with this? Well, he's 41. Well, wait a minute. First of all, he's not 41 yet. And he says he'll be 41 when the season starts.
It's still such a hot talker. But I think
So if it's only about the way he performs and the way he plays and the way he is taking care of himself to be the league MVP at age 40, why is that all of a sudden becoming a factor when it comes to the contract?
I don't know.
And that would, if you were Tom Brady and you're reading that, that's a turnoff.
If that's a stay,
you're saying what?
Yeah, I thought you were my guy.
I don't know. Did you watch the last season? Do I look like a guy who's slowing down? Because at last check, I won the league MVP.
You could make a case that last year at the end of the year was worse for him in that first half in Super Bowl 51 to where, then that same zip on the ball. Looks a little slow there. And then everything changed. He carried your ass this year. He didn't have Edelman. Gronk was in and out. Yeah. Amendola was out for a while. You didn't have Money Mitch. I mean, my God, if you didn't have those running backs, they'd have been in trouble. Defense, how's defense this year? Good? Really not that great. You could say Brady had a better year this past year than he did 2 years ago. You could almost make those kind of hesitant comments a year ago as opposed to now. And this all could come to head in 2 weeks. They got 5 picks in the first 95. 4 in the first 63. You know, if they take a guy or package some of those to move up to get a guy, and Maz was talking about this yesterday too, that's an indicator. But if they just take a guy, say in late second or early third, but go and get a lot of defensive help and maybe a receiver or a tight end, yeah, then you're helping Brady. Or what if you've done all this to get to this point, you don't get that tackle, but you take 3 of those picks to maybe move up 12 spots to get the next guy. Then all of a sudden, whoo, you got a tsunami on your hands here.
I got a thought on that. I want to get more on that because...
Well, you got a thought on it? Let's get more.
I got a thought.
I mean, got calls, too.
I don't know that it would necessarily be a shot at Tom Brady. Or it would
be a problem for Brady. They need to add to the position, and we'll get into it.
We'll get into that.
I kind of agree with you on this.
The latest on Julian Edelman. There's an update there.
I like that.
That sort of ties into what we're talking about. And also, Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal has a hot Patriots take.
Oh!
A hot take that he lays out in his very above the bar, raising the bar type of way. But it's a hot take about what the Patriots maybe should be doing to get ready for the next season. We'll touch on that story and your calls coming up next.
Making your job suck just a little bit less.
You think they have a big hole?
I think they have a big hole.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Put this on. You're on.
On what?
Just TV-12-ing. Just TV-12-ing right now. Pliability is ability. That's Mr. Miyagi right there.
That's Julian Edelman on his Instagram feed with Alex Guerrero.
Makes me want to watch Karate Kid now.
Calling him as Mr. Miyagi. Alex Guerrero working on the leg of Julian Edelman.
I'm going to slide that Danielson call in next year.
Let me tell you something. There's something going on here with these guys that we've talked about for the last couple of months.
Yeah, they got their guy.
Does it feel like they're going over there over and above now to be jerks about it?
I just think they got their guys back. This guy makes me feel
I see this Instagram video from Julian Edelman, and I could think about two things right away. I think two things. Number one, this is Edelman taking another shot on behalf, not another from him, but he's doing this with a purpose. He's not doing this just to put out there that he's having his knee worked on and he's getting ready. This is, I'm backing up Tom, and I'm backing up Gronk. Those are my guys. I'm standing with them on this.
Totally agree. When you put out this type of content, you know that there could be potential repercussions from you-know-who.
You know what they're doing.
Exactly.
This is transparent. And then I think
he used the Belichick phrase. Pliability is ability.
Pliability is ability.
What's Belichick's? Like, availability is the best ability or something like to that effect?
Yes. Yes.
Good one. Good catch, Jim.
Jim,
that's good.
Jim,
that's even him taking a shot right there. Twisting the words of Bill Belichick to fit his TB12 agenda.
It's scary because he's your 3 best and most productive offensive
players. Then I think back to, wow.
Pliability is ability.
Wow. He's and let's just play it in its entirety one more time. And pay attention to the tone and the endorsement here by Edelman. Play it again.
Put this on. You're on.
On what?
Just TB12-ing. Just TB12-ing right now.
Wow. Double.
Pliability is ability. That's Mr. Miyagi right there.
So he's really promoting the pliability aspect of this treatment and this, you know, lifestyle that Tom Brady and Alex Guerrero endorse. Can we do a quick rewind to Tom versus Time? Because I remember Julian Edelman sitting in the living room there in Montana bitching about how he can't just be all about pliability because he's got to have muscle mass because he actually gets hit on a number of plays in each game. Can we just roll that back?
What we try to incorporate here are fast twitch movements, okay? So going and lifting a bunch of heavy weights isn't really going to do anything for us.
It's a little different, though, when you need to imply strength.
Imply?
I do all the things that you guys do. I just incorporate lifting weights because I have to stay strong. Because I have to.
That makes no sense.
Let's keep it real. The only reason why you're trying to get jacked up so you knew to be naked on magazine. So don't, you ain't fooling us.
Well, are we really, we're done with that. That's
yeah,
the past.
Nah.
Let's go.
We were just educating Julian on fast twitch muscles and how he is neglecting to understand the core principles of what we're trying to do to maintain our longevity as we further our playing career. But if Julian just wants to play another couple years, that's Julian's decision, okay?
The one exercise I did yesterday was a bench press, and I'm getting killed about this.
Someone needs to protect you.
I've been hearing this for eight years. Eight years. We've been in an argument for 8 years.
I think there has to be a medium in everything. I feel like you have to have strength, but you have to have pliability and flexibility. You have to have...
Listen, I'm not an anti-weight guy. Everybody thinks I'm anti-weights.
I think weights with pliability are optimal. That's what you want.
I just think you should train for what you want to get out of your
like
training.
That. You need to be strong, Jules. You just take a look. You need to be strong.
What was that film? Pre-injury, right?
That was last spring.
Yeah.
About almost a year ago.
Sounds different now.
I don't know. He just sounds like he's not. It sounds like he's been fighting level of pushback.
I don't know. He's been fighting for 3 years.
No, I mean, he's battling back. Who's the friend? I forget the friend's name.
Oh, Kevin Brady.
Kevin Brady. So Kevin Brady is telling him, no.
No relation.
You can't be here lifting all these weights and telling me you're about pliability. All of your lifting of your weights goes against our core principles.
Just the joke.
And now Edelman's like, no. This is my guy, Mr. Miyagi. Pliability.
Feels good.
Pliability is ability.
Yeah.
You wait. He's going to come back skinny as a rail.
That was the Kevin Brady condescending. If Julian only wants to play for 2 or 3 more years, that's up to Julian, okay? And he's sitting there with a big dipping going, I've been fighting this for 8 freaking years, man. He ain't fighting no more. They got him. It's like when the zombies get you, man.
He's putting out Instagram posts promoting TB12, promoting Guerrero, and it comes at an interesting time. You can't deny that.
He said the brand too, TB12. I'm a TB12. He said it twice.
So the quote from Belichick was dependability is more important than ability. That's the exact. I thought it was availability. It's dependability.
Yeah. Now it's pliability is ability. TMJE11. There you go. There's something to it, Zoe.
Yep.
There is definitely something to it. What it is. You know, how deep it goes, how angry these
guys
are.
Oh, there's definitely something there.
I don't know. I think we've been talking about that for months now.
They're all very, very calculated when they put something out. Even Gronkowski now. It's selective. Stuff is put out for a reason. Yeah. It's not like Jules has a pop-up store. Hey, everybody get there. You'll get the book. A little squirrel book. Nope. Here he is rubbing the right knee.
This is reliability as important as potential. This is see a play in reliability.
Yeah, we like to say dependability is more important than ability.
There you go. 2013. That's what we like to say. That's one of the Belichick's mantras.
5-year war?
No, it's just that the war is now on, and he's now twisting those words.
Maybe we're finding out about the
twisting
war, but the war has been on for longer than we think.
Maybe.
Wow.
It's just bubbling over now.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a story from Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal. He writes, 2 moves that would take Patriots offseason from solid to stunning. That's a big jump. Solid to stunning. Mm. Saying the Patriots have bid adieu to Danny Amendola, right? Brandon Cooks, Malcolm Butler, Deion Lewis, and Nate Solder. We've covered that. He says, but they've done well to retool so far this offseason with more moves. Greg has been a fan of what they've done to this point.
He's doubled down on it.
So the only thing is left tackle. That's the outlier. He said they could survive with what they have there, meaning a rehabbed Antonio Garcia, or a returning Adrian Waddle.
I disagree.
He says, but I'm guessing they're not done there either. And I think he's making a pretty good guess here. I think we're all kind of assuming
yep.
that.
Yep.
That they're not done with that.
Somebody's going down. You can't go in with what you have.
He says, but there are two potential moves that would solve the Patriots' last remaining weak spots. Instill fear in their rivals and make them heavy favorites to win their sixth Super Bowl. We'll tell you what those two moves are that Greg Bedard is suggesting after these headlines.